One of the things that the Apostle John is concerned about in 1 John chapter 2 is that we Christians would remain free from error. In order for that to happen, two things must abide in us: the Word and the anointing. We'll see that today. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious God, how we praise you and thank you for your mercy to us in Jesus Christ. Father, as we study these things that were written by John long ago, show us how they apply to our Christian lives in our day, that we might serve you through faith in Christ. We ask all of this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Hear the Word of God. I'm reading today from 1 John chapter 2, verses 24 through 27. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. Amen. This is God's holy, inspired, and inerrant word. May he bless our understanding of the reading of Scripture today. Truth is of vital importance in the Christian life. The antidote to heresy is to abide in the truths that we have known and heard all along. The things that John was writing to his readers in the first century apply to us as well. And that is, anytime we are confronted with sin and with heresy, it is always good for us to return to the central truths of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had already heard these foundational truths about Jesus Christ when they came to know him in their salvation. This was true of John's readers, and of course it's true of us today. But it was not true of the false teachers who were seeking to lead folks astray back then, or of false teachers who seek to lead us astray today. The correction for all heresies and sins is always to return to the truth of the Word of God, the truth concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And that truth is never to be exchanged for novelties. The truth of Christ abiding in us is the means of severing us from sin and uniting us to the Son of God, said Matthew Henry. This idea of returning to the truth and avoiding novel heresy is taught throughout the Bible. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, "Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you heard from me in faith and in love which are in Christ Jesus." And Jude warned his readers, "But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ." So these passages and many others teach us that we as Christians are to hold fast to the apostles' teaching in the face of novelty, because quite often novelty is simply a new heresy or an old heresy dressed up in new garb. Not everything ancient is true, however. The Bible is, we know that for an absolute fact, but there are myths and legends that are pagan and that are not true at all. But it is wrong to follow the new teachings of these antichrists, John is saying, because the old truths of the Word of God are the correct path to take. To the old paths, it says in the Old Testament, we are to remain in the path of righteousness. So the desire to follow after novelty, the desire to follow after brand new teachings rather than the tried and true teachings of the Word of God, is a characteristic not of believers but of unbelievers. Paul talks about the situation in Athens in this particular way. For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. And Paul warned Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, or chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers and will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. And so just because something is brand new and shiny does not make it right, and especially when we're talking about some brand new teaching. Be very, very careful if someone begins to tell you, I have discovered something in the Bible that nobody has ever seen before, and this is the truth. Be wary of such things. That is how cults begin. That is how heresy is spread. And so we are to turn to the old paths. We are to turn to the gospel, and we are to abide in the things that we have heard of Jesus Christ from the beginning of our Christian lives. John goes on and says, if what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And so what he's talking about here is acceptance of the original Christian message at your conversion involves confessing and believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, and also the very Son of God. He talks about that message abiding in you here. And that word abide is important in this passage. In fact, John weaves the word abide through this passage six times. Abide means to remain or to be in a continuing relationship with. And so it's not enough merely to have heard the word of the gospel at the beginning of your Christian life and to have accepted it at that time. The word of God is to continue. The message of the gospel is to continue to have an abiding, a continuing influence in your daily Christian living right now. And so it is to live in you. It is to remain in you. It is the gospel is to make its home in your heart and in your life. And so what he's getting at here is not only are you as a Christian at home in the gospel message, but in a sense, the gospel message is at home in you as well. That it is abiding in you, that you are growing in it. You are learning more and more as each day goes by. And so what this involves is you must continually call to mind the truths that are taught in the Word of God, in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because it's as you continually call those things to mind and meditate upon them and put them into practice that indeed you will do as King David said in Psalm 119, verse 11. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. And so the word of God abiding or remaining continually in your heart, Christian, and you're meditating upon it and thinking about it and putting it into practice is the way in which you guard yourself against sinning against Almighty God. That's why it is so important for you as a Christian to continually be in the Word of God, to study it on your own, to read it individually and devotionally, to attend worship services where the Word of God is expounded and explained, to worship together with other believers. And so there should be continual Christian instruction going on as you read the Word of God yourself and as you attend worship where the Word of God is explained and set forth. This is essentially the same type of thing that the other apostles have said. Paul, for example, told the Colossian Christians in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So this concept of abiding is very, very important. As I mentioned, John uses that term six times within this section that we're looking at right today. In the very first part of the sentence in verse 24, he talked about the fact that you are commanded to allow the Word of God to abide or to remain in you. And in the second part of that sentence, he sets forth the results of the Word of God abiding in you. And that is that you will then abide in the Son as well as abiding in the Father. And so you're having the Word of God abide in you, and you're abiding in God are accompanied by a wonderful promise that we'll look at next. So what is that promise? John writes, and this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. This is the promise that's made to us, for example, by our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in John chapter 10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. And so eternal life is not just an eternal duration of life. It would not be eternal life to continue to live just as you are right now. Eternal life is life that is completely different. It is life lived in the presence of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a transformed life. It is a purified life in glory. Now, all of those things. John also tells us in John chapter 10, Jesus speaking of what Jesus says there, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. And so eternal life is life lived in the presence of God, is life lived through the Lord Jesus Christ and in his presence, and it continues to have the promise of the fact that no one can take that eternal life away from you. John is saying here then that the reward of abiding in the Son and the Father is this eternal life, and this eternal life begins here and now at the moment of your salvation. John 3:36, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. But then there's this warning. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. And so here is an abiding that you don't want. As you are born into this world a sinner, you are born under the wrath of God. And unless and until you repent of your sins and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, that wrath remains upon you. And so what is being said here is there is the promise of eternal life through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and abiding in the Father and in the Son throughout all eternity. But there is the warning that if you do not believe in Christ, there is an abiding you're not going to want, and that is the abiding of the wrath of God remaining on you throughout all of this life and throughout all of eternity to come. What John says here is that persistent belief is the antidote to dangerous heresy. He is warning us of the danger of being deceived. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. This is one of the purposes for which John wrote this letter. This is a purpose statement. He is describing why he wrote it here. And he is worried about, concerned about, the heretics who are attempting to lead Christians astray. That word deceive literally means to cause you to wander off the path. It's used in the New Testament to describe causing someone to turn aside from the true path of the gospel and to hold a wrong view and to become seriously mistaken. And this is what the false teachers were trying to do. They were trying to get those first century believers to go astray from the one and only way of salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the danger that we face today. There are many false teachers today who also would have you wander away from the only way of salvation, would have you follow after them, would have you follow after some false god or some false way of supposed salvation. And that's what the false teachers did then. That's what they do today. And so it's not enough to merely recognize, yes, there are heretics all around us. The church must always realize that these heretics constitute a serious danger for Christians, that they can indeed lead those astray who are struggling to understand the truths of the gospel. This prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ regarding false prophets and false Christ that would arise prior to the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70 is being fulfilled even as John writes these words here. Remember, we've talked about this before. He said in Matthew 24, verse 24, "For false Christ and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect." And so there is a danger that you are to be aware of. You are to stay clear of heresy, stay clear of the heretics. And the way that you do that is through continual belief in the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only does the word of the gospel abide in you, but so does the Holy Spirit. John continues, "But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you." And so you, Christian, have received the anointing of the Holy Spirit given by the Lord Jesus Christ. That word anointing refers to the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the word of God that has been conveyed to your hearts by the indwelling Holy Spirit. We saw previously that the Holy Spirit anointed every Christian at your conversion. And so when you became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you were anointed with the Holy Spirit. He came to dwell in your heart and in your life forever. This anointing is symbolized by your water baptism, but it is not identical to it. Water, in fact, does not convey the anointing. It symbolizes it, however, and it seals it to those who do have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the true meaning of your baptism is the baptism of the Holy Spirit that's pictured by your water baptism. So the Holy Spirit has come to abide in you, and John says, "And you do not need that anyone teach you." Now, he is not ruling out all teaching and all teachers. In fact, he is giving them some teaching. So obviously, he's not ruling that out. The Bible emphasizes the importance of teaching. Jesus in the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28 tells us to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And he gave us the promise, of course, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, "These things command and teach." And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." And so the Apostle John is teaching. Paul taught Timothy. And Paul told Timothy, "Now take what you have been taught and teach others as well." And so John is not ruling out human teachers here at all. But at the time that he was writing, the Gnostic heretics had been insisting that their teaching was superior to the gospel message, and that they had supplemented what the apostles had taught and corrected it with their own higher knowledge. And so John's response to all of this is that you Christians have been taught under the Holy Spirit's ministry through the apostles not only adequate truth, but the only real truth. In other words, don't listen to these heretics. You don't need them. Don't turn to them at all. But as the anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, John says. So what he's talking about here, when he's talking about this teaching of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, he is not talking about the Holy Spirit conveying new revelation to you or me. The teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit here is called illumination. And what it does not involve is revealing new truth, or it does not also involve helping you understand all the intricacies and minute details of those difficult passages that puzzle you. It's the development instead of the capacity to appreciate and also to appropriate the truth of God that has already been revealed in the pages of Holy Scripture. And so basically, what this anointing does in teaching you each and every day is it helps you understand the meaning and the meaningful application of the Bible to your daily living. The all things that John is talking about here is all things that are necessary for life and for godliness, for salvation, for godliness. It means all that you need to know. It's not talking about minute details of things that really the Bible doesn't perhaps even address. The size of the universe, a number of other things like that. So what he's talking about when he says all things is all things necessary for your salvation. That's the point that John is making here. He is not saying that you as a believer become infallible, because no human being ever has been or ever will be. Christ alone is infallible. But you and I are not and never could be. No believer ever receives the Spirit in all of His fullness as Jesus only has done. And therefore, the measure of the Spirit that is apportioned to you is given out by God for keeping you from soul-damning heresy and error. So what he's saying here is these folks don't have any need for the false teachers who were trying to convince them that they had a superior theology to that of the gospel, that they knew more than the apostles did, that they could correct errors that the apostles made or anything like that, that their knowledge was a higher knowledge in some way. What we are to do instead is to return to the Word of God. It's the Word of God and the work of the Holy Spirit who indwells us, who enables us to understand the Word of God that is important in our lives. So, Christian, today, you are not at the mercy of false teachers. And the reason is you have your ultimate resource in the Bible. Your ultimate resource is God's holy Word and the Holy Spirit who continues to abide and dwell within you, who helps you understand the truths of the Scripture and put them into practice in your life. John continues by saying, "And just as it has taught you, you will abide in Him." Now, notice the word "it" is found here, and it's not talking about the fact that the Holy Spirit is not a person. He is a person. But the reason the word "it" is used here is because the Greek word charisma is neuter, and therefore it applies to that particular word in the Greek language. And so he's talking about the Holy Spirit abiding in you and you and teaching you, and therefore you abide in the Holy Spirit, you abide in Christ, you abide in God. If you remain in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you will remain in the true teaching. In verse 27, he used the word "received." And in verse 24, he used the word "heard," and therefore he was talking about past experiences in your Christian life, things that happened at your conversion. The apostolic word and the anointing spirit are the two safeguards that God has given you, Christian, to protect you against error and heresy. So both the apostolic teaching and the heavenly teacher are absolutely necessary for you as a Christian to be able to remain in the truth of God's holy word. There is a balance intended here. Some folks make the mistake of honoring the word of God but neglecting the importance of the Holy Spirit's ministry to teach it to you, to help you interpret it and understand it. And when that happens, it can lead to nothing other than some kind of dead orthodoxy, if you can even call that orthodoxy at all. And on the other hand, there are some who exalt the ministry of the Holy Spirit and ignore the Word of God. And this is equally dangerous because this can lead to all kinds of strange excesses, practices that are not godly and not Christian at all. And so there must be a balance between the indwelling of the Word and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in your life as a Christian. Only when there is this balance are you truly protected from error and heresy. The Word which you have heard from the beginning, and the Holy Spirit, the anointing that you have received from God at your conversion, are the two things that must be there in your life to protect you from falling away into error and heresy. That means that as Christians, when we are confronted by the teachings of unbelievers, when we're confronted by the teachings of heretics, we have dwelling within us the means of exploring the Scriptures and discerning the truth as the Holy Spirit would enable us to understand what the old path is, what the Scriptures say regarding these things. And so we can rely upon the teaching of the Holy Spirit enabling us to understand what the Word of God has always said and enabling us to walk in that way as those who believe in Christ and seek to live godly, righteous, and holy lives in Him. So let's recap what we are looking at from John today. You, Christian, are to rely upon the truths of the gospel that you have heard since the very beginning of your Christian life. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the safeguard that the Holy Spirit uses to keep the elect of God abiding in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And as the gospel abides in you, you will also abide in the Son and in the Father. And you receive, when you do, the wonderful promise of eternal life through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, do not be deceived. You do not need any of these secret doctrines that some cult or some heretic would try to tell you that you must add to the Bible or supplement the Bible with or replace the Bible with even. There is no need for something like that for you to, quote, know God better. You need merely to rely upon the Holy Spirit who indwells you as a Christian, to rely upon Him to teach you everything you need to know about life and godliness out of the Word of God, to help you understand it as He illuminates the Scriptures to your heart and to your life. And so as the Holy Spirit teaches you from the Word of God, He will enable you to abide in God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But you'll notice that everything I have said today refers to the fact that you must be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ for these things to be true. And so if you are watching or listening today and you do not know Jesus Christ, remember what we saw from John 3:36, the wrath of God abides on you. You don't want that. You need to flee from your sin. You need to flee from all kinds of rebellion against God. You need to flee to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to trust in Him and in Him alone for salvation. So turn from your sin and trust in the only Savior of sinners, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. If you've never done so before, I urge you, do so today. Amen. Let us pray once again. Almighty, gracious, eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, how we thank you for the Word of God that abides in us, how we thank you for the Holy Spirit who also abides in us, and how we thank you that these two enable us to abide in you through Jesus Christ our Savior. So, Father, we pray that you would bless us to indeed hide your Word in our hearts, that we might grow in Christ and understand more fully the gospel message and live by it day after day. Thank you for providing us with all that we need for this life. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you would bless us to grow in Christ and to live Christianly in a fallen world. And Father, I do still pray that any who are watching or are listening who do not know Christ might this very day, this very moment, turn from sin and trust in Jesus and be saved. Please bring all of these things about to your honor and your glory. I ask through Jesus Christ the King. Amen. Thank you for being with me this week, and I look forward to continuing our study in 1 John next time.